Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't joined our wonderful marketing transformation community yet, go to innovabiz.co and collect your free gift as well. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
Positive thinking will not change your life. Inevitability thinking is the most powerful form of thinking, and advanced thinking in the personal development field is exactly what it says, the name. Inevitability thinking is anything you want. It's inevitable. It's a foregone conclusion because you have set conditions along the way for it to happen.
Welcome back. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. If you haven't yet listened to my recent conversations with Systems Rock founder, Natasha Vorompiova, and with the author of The Attention Factor, Alice Aspen-March, then do check them out after you've listened to today's conversation. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Roger Salem. He's the founder and chairman of The Winner's Circle, the largest and most respected mastermind forum for top speakers and information and internet marketers. Roger is also an award-winning inspirational speaker, a best-selling author of several books and courses on personal development, on sales and marketing, and on real estate investing. For most of the 1990s, Roger served as a professional speaker and trainer with the world-renowned motivational speaker and peak performance coach Tony Robbins. Roger believes that if you want to achieve more success from your business and personal goals, then the key is to surround yourself with other top achievers. In our discussion today, Roger talked to me about how to run a mastermind using structure, processes, and boundaries to enable breakthroughs to happen. He explained the importance of focusing first on relationship capital. And he explained to me about inevitability thinking as a means to get what you want. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Roger Salem. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Salt Lake City in Utah in the USA, Roger Salem, who is a best-selling author. He's a speaker, a trainer, and founder of The Winner's Circle International. Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Roger. It's a real privilege to have you here as my guest.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and a privilege.
Neil Sperling, who was our guest on our last milestone, or our last before the last milestone, episode 200 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we have a conversation with you, Roger. So big hello to Neil. I know he listens in regularly and provides feedback on some of the episodes. So hope we do you justice today, Neil.
No, thank you. And Neil is an awesome guy.
Yeah.
I spoke to him a couple of days ago.
Okay. All right. We'll say hello next time you do speak to him directly. It's probably been a month or so since I spoke with him. Now, Roger, you've had an interesting journey, an interesting background. You were taken on as an employee of Tony Robbins very early in your career. You ended up becoming one of the top salespeople and a lead trainer in the Tony Robbins organization. Now, people can find out a lot more about you by listening to other podcast interviews. You've done quite a few. I didn't think it was worth repeating a lot of that, so I encourage the listener to go and check you out there. But what you do today is run global masterminds and help entrepreneurs really accelerate their growth and surround themselves with outstanding people. And that was what I wanted to explore with you a little bit today. But of course, anything relevant from your background, I'd love you to share as well with us. So let's start with a question of, why did you start these masterminds?
Wonderful. And in a way that the genesis of that goes back to Tony Robbins, in the sense that I'm a student of success. And Robbins Research International, what Tony's core competency was, that he would study successful people, and then that's what he passed on. And I would go to companies and organizations and study their successful people and model. And modeling is his quote-unquote formula, that anything you want in life, find someone who's already achieved that, and then model them, if that's what you want. And there's a certain steps and things that you need to do, steps for modeling. And when I first, it was very early on in the late 80s, after I graduated from UCLA, after my first job is when I saw Tony Robbins. And when I saw him, he resonated with me so much. He was so inspiring. And I said to myself that I want to master what he's teaching. I don't want to dabble in it. And I said, what better way to master than go work for him? He'll make sure I live it, otherwise he'll fire me. Yeah. So that is called total immersion learning. That is called inevitability thinking. This positive thinking will not change your life. Inevitability thinking is the most powerful form of thinking in advanced thinking in the personal development field. Is exactly what it says, the name, inevitability thinking. Is anything you want, it's inevitable. It's a foregone conclusion because you have set conditions along the way for it to happen. And so along that way, being a student of success, I'm always looking for the silver bullet. What is the fastest way to get to success? Because all else being equal, everybody wants to get there faster. Is there a faster way? All else being equal. And I'm here to tell you there are no silver bullets, but the closest I've come is when I read Think and Grow Rich. And there's also another saying that when the student is ready, the teacher shall appear. And I read it before in the 90s, but it didn't resonate with me because I guess I wasn't ready for it. And I tell people that how many times you've listened to the same audio session, or you read a book the second, third, or the 10th time, and you found something completely new that wasn't there the first time or the first 13th time. And you go, man, the author in the middle of the night added that chapter, added it.
Yeah.
And I swear, I've listened to it 13 times. It wasn't there. On the 14th time, it's just glaring.
Yeah, yeah. Or it that was never expressed that way before. Now it makes total sense. Yeah.
Yes. And so I say that the truth is, the person is, the book is not different. You are different. Because you're looking at it, reading at it with different spectacles, different life experience. And so when I read it, I think mid 2000, and Napoleon, then I just studied that Napoleon Hill, who was sort of the grandfather of the whole personal development movement in 1900, 1903, Andrew Carnegie, the richest man in the world at the time, commissioned him to study all the successful people of his era and find out why are these people successful. So literally there was commission. And as a result of that study, and by the way, he took $1 for that commission. And as a result of that study, he developed 17 principles. Three of them are foundational principles and 14 are supporting principles. Foundational principle obviously means that they're found in everybody that he talked to, they had these three. And so right there, principle number one of the three foundational principles is definiteness of purpose, which is knowing what it is that you want, having clarity of your goal, your target. Because if you don't have clarity, if you don't know what you want, it doesn't matter. It's like in Dorothy in the movie, when she's at the path and there's a fork in the road, and she said, she's confused, I don't know which path to take. And all of a sudden, poof, the fairy appears and said, hey, where do you want to, which path shall I take? And she asked, where do you want to go? I don't know. then he goes, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So same thing. So the moment you know what is it that you want, principle number two is the principle, he called it the mastermind. Right there, right in front of me, he's telling me that all of his research, he found that this is I call it the holy grail. And right then and there, I said, I need to mastermind. With that same intensity that I went and mastered by modeling, I said, I now need to master mastermind. And I started looking for mastermind. And by mastermind, the Napoleon Hill definition of mastermind is the classic, is when two or more people get together in the spirit of harmony and cooperation. Either to achieve their individual or a collective outcome. When these two people or more people get together, there's a collective mind that forms, the collective wisdom, hence the mastermind. So It will never happen, no matter how smart you are as an individual, this will never happen because with an individual, there is no collective mind. So that is the foundation. And Napoleon Hill said, analyze the record of any successful person, either they have achieved great success or a moderate success. He said, they either consciously or unconsciously applied the principle of mastermind. And he said, great power can be achieved with no other principle but mastermind. And right then and there, I said, this is it. Now I need to dedicate to mastermind. And I started looking for all the mastermind organization that was out there at that point. And I couldn't find exactly what I was looking for there. All of them had good qualities. Since I couldn't find what I was looking for, and what I meant by that, I was specifically looking for an ROI-centric mastermind, a business mastermind, not an idea-centric mastermind. If you and I sit there, ideas are dime a dozen. Ideas will come because of the nature of the good people. I was wondering that, what can I do that will move the needle of the ROI in a meaningful way? Since I couldn't find what I was looking for, I did the next best thing. I started my own. And that's how the Winner Circle was born. And just blatantly speaking, that when I am not very good at creating something brand new, but if you give me three, I will create a fourth one that is with eclectic from all the three, and then add my own, and it'll be very different and be far superior than the three by themselves. The old saying that if you copy from one, it's plagiarism. If you copy from 10, it's research.
Okay. Yeah.
So what in school, what they call plagiarism, in business life, we call it cooperation. We call it mastermind. And so it's the dichotomy. And that's why I sometimes joke that my UCLA degree and 25 cents ought to get me a cup of coffee. And here is that cup of coffee.
Yeah, great.
And not from Starbucks, by the way.
Yeah.
We call it $4.
$4.
That's the name. You can get the same coffee at a place for 50 cents. You go to Starbucks and you get a coffee for $4. So
great. And, that's and, a new and, one for me. Yeah, I hadn't heard that before.
Then, Jürgen, is anything good and great that has happened to my life is not an indirect, I can define the genesis, is a direct result of my mastermind or the other mastermind groups that I pay and belong to. As a matter of fact, look at this connection. We came here because of Neil. How did Neil happen? Because Neil attended my mastermind at sea last year. Exactly a year ago, the mastermind he attended, and I have a testimonial from him that was the most transformational 7 days of his life. So someone like his caliber telling me that, and so when this group of people by invitation they come, I have to raise my game, because this is not ordinary people that I said something and they're going to be impressed. They've been there, done that. I have to raise the game to impress them. And when they said that it was the most transformational week of his life, and we're here because of that, and because of that one connection. And so anything I'm looking back, that has happened since 2006, 2007. I can go and almost without exception, pinpoint that connection came with a direct. Sometimes maybe it's nil, maybe two, three apart, but the genesis would be some mastermind event that I either or a speaking engagement that I, from a mastermind, I got a speaking engagement, and then from that speaking engagement came the next joint venture. Mm. So, and I don't know that your listeners, that if they have experienced mastermind, and sometimes, of course, I get interviewed many times about the topic, and I create global masterminds. If I want to give you the ABCs of mastermind very simply, and that why should everyone join a mastermind? Forget about my mastermind, any mastermind, and just like, if not, create your own. And it's not challenging. It's A is for access to other successful people. And that old cliche, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And here, when you're around the successful people, then B is for best practices. There's not enough time for us to make all the mistakes. So you find out from other successful people how they have achieved their results, and you shortcut, you accelerate. And C is for community of like-minded people. So it's very lonely out there as an entrepreneur. So if you come together with a group of like-minded people, it's fun and you feel like you're not alone. These people can finish the sentences for you. I have had in my masterminds, people share things they haven't shared with their spouse, they haven't shared with their business partner, they haven't shared with their employees, because all of these people, it's a safe environment. And this, I can't talk about it, but with you guys, I can, because I know that you can relate to it. I haven't been able to come up with one word, but the closest I've come is, if I had to explain what a mastermind is, I've come up with two words. Mastermind is accelerated results. Anything you want, chances are you can get it on your own without mastermind. But if you want the same thing faster, stronger, better, I promise you, you'll get it through the power of mastermind.
Yeah. Well, it brings to focus that, you know, in some ways, you know, we're seeing through the COVID situation that we do miss those social interactions, and we are a social species. But as entrepreneurs, we kind of think of ourselves as problem solvers. So we want to solve all the problems ourselves, and we don't reach out and ask for help, which the mastermind gives that structure to, and as you said, a safe environment for where you can have those conversations, you can learn from other people's mistakes so you don't have to make them yourself. I think that's always a great philosophy. Don't make other people's mistakes again.
The two foundational beliefs of my mastermind is, number one, is who you associate with and listen to will determine your destiny. Who you associate with and listen to will determine your destiny. And number two, is none of us is as smart as all of us.
Yeah.
So that's the collective mind that comes together to create the mastermind. And when they come together, and in a broader sense, there's three main reasons you should join any mastermind. Number one is to solve problem. Like you're saying, that we are entrepreneurs and we get paid for solving problems. Bigger the problem, bigger the reward. Solve problems. Two is share resources and find out new resources. And third is find new opportunities. Hmm. These are everything else. I can give you 39 reasons to join a mastermind, but they'll all be a subset of one of these three. And so what I like about the true mastermind is that my masterminds are a dozen, 14, 15 people. It is not in a 25 people. I've tested. And if anything less than six, there's not enough energy in the room to spark things. And if it goes more than 15 people, and if it's, then you have to go to a 3-day format, not a 2-day format. I usually do 2-day format. So now you have a dozen people and you have two facilitators, and to get these people and everybody, you need to focus. on you. When it's your turn, it's not just you have 5 minutes and you say what you do and you know. You have full hour, and I am outcome bound, not time bound. And I have buffer built in that if people, the whole learning of the mastermind comes vicariously through other person. So when you come to the mastermind, you come prepared with what your problem you're going to talk about, what opportunity you're going to share. But then you find out someone else's problem and you go, oh my God, I didn't even think about that one. I have that problem. I just wasn't aware. And thank God he's talking about it. I'm going to go fix it before that problem happens. So they go, and so repeatedly the testimonials come from that I learned more from their session than my own. I thought I was coming to solve this problem.
Yeah. The other thing that I've experienced in masterminds in that kind of environment, when somebody gets up and presents an overview of their business and here's my biggest challenges right now, I have that experience, but sometimes it gets to the next stage of the experience where I think, I know how to solve that. And I articulate some suggestions for that person's business. Yeah. And then in reflecting on what advice I've just given, I think to myself, hang on a minute, I haven't done all those things in my own business. Let's write all that down, because there's my advice to myself. And it actually,
I had no idea I was that smart.
Exactly.
I have to listen to myself.
So if somebody else presents the problem that you're actually having, they articulate it in a different way, you suddenly come up with an idea that might help solve that problem. And then you think, well, why haven't I done that? Because actually I've got the same problem.
So similarly, what you do is, why this is really good is, in any mastermind, what happens is when you have good people, if you gather a group of good people, good things will come out. They don't need you, they don't need me. Just by the nature of who they are, good things will happen. However, if you want great things to happen, if you want breakthroughs to happen, and if you want those to happen consistently and for majority of the participants, you need structure, you need processes, you need boundaries, you need all of those things for breakthroughs to happen. Because I have done, and that's what the thing is, that over the decade, I have created forms, I've created little processes that people I've copied, and I have spun so many other masterminds from my own group. I facilitate masterminds for other people now as an expert. So when I go there, they go, wow, the productivity, everything has increased. People's participation has increased. Their listening skill has increased. It's not that they didn't have it before. It's just they didn't have a system, a process to do it, and in real time. And I also, as I was telling you, that my mastermind is a very ROI-centric mastermind, not just an idea-centric mastermind. So I'm always focusing on that, what can I do for that person now so that their bank balance will increase? There are many ways things you can measure. Easiest thing to measure is that, hey, has your revenue increased? Has your profitability increased? Has your expenses reduced? So you can really measure it from those perspective. And this joint venture, I'm known as the joint venture king. I just figure out of these people is that when you talk, who else, what else can I do with this person? Like Neil and I are doing joint venture right now from the boat, from our mastermind at sea. Right this minute, we're in a joint venture, and that's what actually he was calling to update me on what the status is and what the revenue potential is and how we're going to share it. And that, the genesis of that was at the mastermind at sea. And I have processes in place for people. And in writing that one mastermind, there were 241 joint ventures. Potentials were created in writing. Not just, oh yeah, in writing. And so I can track it. And so that's how they monetize at least my group, we prioritize it that how many permutation combinations can you do, and not just within the group. If I, Neil came to me, and your example of Neil, because we know him, it's there were roughly 84 people on last year's mastermind. It's not that I only know 83 people. I know people beyond the 84.
Yeah, yeah.
If Neil is telling me who he is and what he needs, his best mastermind or joint venture partners maybe outside of the group who couldn't make it this year. So I connect with them because I have a fiduciary responsibility to maximize Neil for his participation, for his investment. Mm. And so it is mind-blowing how exponential growth can happen. You're one connection away from your next six-figure, next seven-figure joint venture deal. And that's my thing in my mastermind. I try to cultivate with people, and not a metaphorical or hearsay. We track those and measure it and in numbers.
Great. Well, you've made a very powerful case there for mastermind, and certainly a good mastermind. And I love that, you know, you've got that very clear service mindset. There is how can I serve each member of the mastermind?
Yes.
I'd like to explore with you kind of the structure of the masterminds a little bit more and some of your processes. But before we do that, I want to come back to something you said early on in our conversation, and that was inevitability thinking rather than, you know, positive thinking. You know, I think positive thinking is, you know, much maligned because we kind of are encouraged to think everything's going to be all right and so on, which, you know, may well be the case, but it's not going to be all right if we sit on our hands and don't take action. So I'd like to understand what you mean by inevitability thinking some more, and I suspect there might be a core element there of taking action and taking the right action in that.
Certainly, positive thinking is better than negative thinking. So right there is the power. There is power. The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. It's the classic book. It's like Think and Grow Rich. If you haven't, your listeners haven't read these classics, then go read Think and Grow Rich as a foundation. Give it to your children. And then The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. These are classic. The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Tony Robbins' Unlimited Power or Awaken the Giant Within. These are just foundational. You cannot not learn. And then advanced thinking from beyond positive thinking is the concept of inevitability thinking. Inevitability thinking, the truth is, you do that. Your listeners do inevitability thinking, but perhaps not apply in business as much as they apply in their day-to-day life. As I say, that if you, as the name suggests, inevitability thinking is the thinking that makes the outcome inevitable. It's a foregone conclusion that it's going to happen. And the reason it's going to happen is because you've set up conditions along the way for it to happen. So positive thinking is not going to make those changes because our habits, we are trying to change a habit. We're trying to change us. And let's take an example of, you want to go to the gym. You've set up a new, you're going to lose weight, you're going to get fit, and you want to go to the gym. And you and I both know the statistic that all the gyms, they make all of their money in January, December. So, because that's
people sign up for a year's subscription and then they.
Yes. Yes. So the number one goal for US and people ask, guess what? The number one goal is to lose weight. It's very
New Year's resolution. Yeah,
New Year's resolution is to lose weight. That means that they have excess weight. They eat too much, and the third world countries, they don't have enough to eat, and so they want to get rid of it. And those who wants to lose weight, that means, of course, part of the thing is I'm going to join a gym. First 3 weeks, there's no room. Yeah, that's why there's a sign everywhere, 20-minute limit for your 30-minute limit for the treadmill and stuff. Please let someone use. By the third week, they're back to empty again. Third week, it's empty again. And And they paid for the whole year subscription. So here is the statistic that people who buy a membership, over 90, 95% of them quit. And that's somewhere along the first 3 months. But those who hire a personal trainer, 95% of them stick with it. Why is that? That's an example of an inevitability thinking, because there's a fundamental human fact that you and I will do more for others than we'll ever do for ourselves.
Hmm.
So take advantage of that, because if you set up, and especially if it's painful, that person, that trainer gets paid $60 an hour, $100 an hour to beat you up. So things that you can do by yourself, but you set an appointment just like you're, like today, I was there because we set up a time last time we spoke. So I set an alarm. I set everything so that I want to be here on time and everything else, because it's not, I'm talking to someone else. It's someone else that I respect. So I want to respect their time. Similarly, that when you set up that personal development with a trainer, the time, chance of you showing up, because if you don't show up, somebody listening to this, oh yeah, easy for you. You can afford personal trainer. I can't. No, that's an excuse right there. It's what you do is find a buddy. Find a buddy. Your goal is to get to the gym. You and I, let's say an example, we live in nearby and we said, okay, we're going to go to the gym. And the inevitability, positive thinking is, yes, I'm going to get up tomorrow and go to the gym. That's positive thinking. Inevitability thinking is you will come and pick me up. The next day, I will go and pick you up and we will go.
Hmm.
So that is inevitability thinking. And you give each other permission. When I come, if you're asleep, you can do whatever it takes to wake me up, including the jug of water. So we give each other permission and that do. So I may not want to get up. I'm tired. I had a late night. All the excuses. Oh man, I had a big things to do. Doesn't matter. You said you're going to go at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock comes. My buddy shows up. It's time. And we used to say, by the way, I'm giving you a real life example. I have given him permission to honk. And I am deathly afraid my neighbors are going to wake up. So they're going to say, what is wrong with you? And stuff. So I will wake up before he honks so that I don't have to hear it from my neighbor. So, yeah. And he can honk as loud, as much as he wants until I show up in the car. So he can continuously honk. So we give each other permission. And that's an example of inevitability thinking. Or in a simpler way, that how many times have you done this, that tomorrow you have a very important business meeting and you have a very important document that you have to take to the meeting. I mean, this is critical. And then you get up and you rush it and you forgot that document.
Mm.
It has happened to us, all of us. Inevitability thinking is the night before you take your car keys and put the document on top of the car keys. Or to put the car keys underneath it, and right, it's hanging. You can see the keychain, it's there. So you cannot. So when you go and it's right there, you have to take the key, then you go, oh, here's a document. Or you take that document and put it in your briefcase.
Hmm.
And you put the briefcase in your car the night before. So that's inevitability thinking, that the document is gonna show up, whether you forget it or not.
Yeah,
you've just that element of inevitability thinking. So similarly, in business, when you have set up your goal, what are the smaller milestones along the way? Because a big milestone has smaller milestones. So the big milestone is nothing without the smaller milestones. And you go along the way and do those. And then before you know it, you add up those smaller milestones you've already achieved your bigger milestone, and it's inevitable. Whatever you want to go, whatever you want to achieve, and you create your team, and it's there.
Yeah, yeah, I love those examples, and I love how you tied it back to breaking down big milestones into small ones. In fact, it was highlighted to me yesterday. I sort of at the end of the day, I was lacking a little bit of energy. I sort of set myself another hour to do some tasks, but I was lacking a little bit of energy and motivation, and I kind of thought, oh well, I'll just put these off to tomorrow. But of course, I felt guilty about that as well, and I thought, well, what's the smallest thing I can do on this task to so that tomorrow there's actually less to do? And I identified a couple of things, and I did three of those small things, and now everything's done except for just recording. So it's a recording of an intro to a podcast. And so now everything's done except just the recording, which is only going to take me 5 minutes this morning.
I'll give you the real life current inevitability thinking for me. I am lazy like the next guy. I am a lazy SOB. If you give me the chance, I will just slack off, and I want to do things, anything to avoid. So what I do is I met more great people in the last 8 weeks than the previous 8 months. When COVID hit, I've been going to office every single day, 7 days a week. My office building is next door. And I have never been closed for COVID to this day. And I tell anyone that, look, if you're not afraid of COVID, you can come in. If not, we'll do by Zoom. And every day I've hired an additional person to set up all these calls with me. So every hour, there's 3-4 new people that I am meeting, and I am absolutely no, just like we had a conversation and this result of this, we were not trying to sell each other anything. I said, because of course I targeted you so that somebody intellectual, somebody I respect, somebody has a successful. So I already know about you. Then I wanted to have an intellectual conversation and see if there's an intersection. Here's what I do. I want to know what is it that you do. I want to know what is your superpower. And then let's see, how can we serve each other? That's the basis of my meeting. And I would rather do something else. But because of all of these calls, there are days I didn't want to do anything. But it's not possible not to do anything because those conditions are set. Mm. And then when I have this one meeting, it's not the end of the one meeting. It's a beginning of, hey, send me this, send me that, you send me this, let's talk about doing this and other things. And I will not. I have to send a thank you note. So all of those actions that I have to do, I cannot not do, because as I said, I'll do more for you than I'll do for myself, including food. I don't like to cook for myself, but I will invite others and I will cook.
Yeah.
And if it was just me, I'd rather just open a can. I'm just as lazy as the next guy. I will take the easy path. But when I love to invite people for breakfast because that gets me up early.
Yeah.
I had my first interview today at 7 a.m. my time. And I was up around 5:30 or so, because normally I'm up at 6:30. But because at 7, I had to be 5:30 because I wanted to be showered, ready, and I listened to, just like you're so organized. You gave me everything about this podcast. So read through it and thought about what I'm going to say. Are there anything changes? I have done these things 100 times. I've done over 10,000 professional talks, but I still have butterflies the day before the interview, the day before the talk. And it's not butterfly because I care. If you don't have butterflies, first thing is you don't care about it anymore. Yeah. How can I say, and my prayer to the Lord is that, please give me the wisdom and use me as a channel to share things with his or her audience, something that'll impact their lives now. And I don't know what it is, but I hope, and this is why sometimes I'm up, I'm just playing with the slides, reorganizing, just the same mastermind thing I've done a million times, but I am playing with it because I care. Mm. So going back to the question of, yes, inevitability thinking is all of those things that you just set up conditions along the way for it to happen, that you go, and during this COVID time, I tell people, take one day at a time. Don't set it weekly, nothing. And I'm a big, big quote guy because I collect quotes because it inspires me. And because the nature of who we are always want to achieve this, achieve that result. I completely, one quote helped me to refocus myself. And it said that, don't measure your success today by the fruits you sort of create, but by the seeds that you plant. So I'm measuring, it's how many seeds of success I have planted. I have no agenda, and organically the seeds are growing.
Yeah.
In their own time. So I'm just, all of a sudden the stress factor is gone. And organically results are producing. I am busier than I was before. Not just busy, meaning really productive busy. In one of my businesses, we had our highest month ever in April. And I have another business that is not only down, it's non-existent because that's a live event business. So that created some vacuum. Because that business is non-existent, that created some vacuum, and an idle brain is devil's workshop. And that idle brain is what I my goal at the very beginning of COVID was, if I don't fill this with productive things, it'll be a devil's workshop. So I go set up these meetings with intellectual people and have intellectual conversations. And I really mean it when I say that I've met some really awesome people, and I've set multiple two-hour blocks to talk to those people. Of course, those are few and far between. And I am, right now, my assistant has shortened my introductory meeting from 30 minutes to 20 minutes. Because I've become better. In 20 minutes, I want to figure out, is there a spark? Is there a connection? Is there something that we can take it? If not, I want to be off with them for 20 minutes and then give those extra minutes to someone that I am resonating with. And funny thing is, one of my life or criteria for doing joint ventures, because I can do so many joint ventures. We have a small, really group, cliquish group. We have come up with a criteria for doing joint ventures or business with someone else. The question that we ask ourselves is, do I want to go on a vacation with this person?
Yeah.
If the answer is no, then get off as soon as you can, do as minimal as you can. If the answer is yes, I want to go on a vacation, which you're telling me that I love this guy, that he's so much fun, she's so much fun, I want to figure out a way to spend more time with this person. So that's why when people come to my mastermind, I say your number one goal is to build quality relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
And less you talk business, the more fun you have, the more business you'll end up doing. And that's the under. I said, this is my 11th year doing my this is my 11th year, and I said, this is the wisdom of all these years I've seen. Please, the greatest gift you can give to anyone else is your true, authentic self.
Yeah. I love that you say, would you take a vacation with them? Because we have this exercise where we start our whole marketing journey with our clients in, let's identify your ideal client. And one of the things I talk about is, your ideal client is the person who you would be perfectly happy to be stranded on a desert island with nothing else there, because you like their company so much. That's where we'll start. And then, there's a whole lot of other attributes that person should have to be your ideal client, but that's a key one.
The good news is, because my mastermind is invitation only, and I'm already, it's invitation and application, so I know a lot about these people already, so that the mindset that they come, what are they bringing to the table for others? So everyone qualifies to do a joint venture, everything to begin with, but not everyone is the same, have the same values, fun, and everything else, or their lifestyle, what they do. They're not single, their kids are this. They don't have that much flexibility that others do. You look at those things and see, hey, and I tell people that my flagship event is the Mastermind at Sea. There's strictly limited to 100, no more. So, and I said, you don't need 99 connections. You need half a dozen. That's it.
Yeah.
And the key, and for 7 days, the key is to find out which half a dozen of this group that you should go deeper. So I have processes that I run through within the very first day so that you can identify which of the dozen or so that you need to go. And these are designed for half vacation, half session. All my mastermind, I have become a lifestyle entrepreneur. I no longer do, I was telling you that I had a 2-day mastermind. When I started, yes, I had a big mansion. I would people fly in and they would stay there, and 38,000 square foot mansion. So they can have plenty of room to play for 2 days and then they leave. But now what I do, my first criteria is I must create an unforgettable experience. I must create that you're going to be a card-carrying member of this unique experience that very few people on the planet have experienced. So I take a small group of 15, 20 people, and we went to Italy, went to China, Hong Kong, Shenzhen, Macau, went to New Zealand, went to Bangladesh. That's where I'm originally from. So when we go to these countries, of course, every country I go to, I have a local host. What do I know about China? What do I know about New Zealand? So I always have a co-host, and my instruction to the co-host, first thing is, for example, my co-host in Italy, of course, Italy has so many touristy things to do. And if somebody hasn't been there, and so first when she gave the, what can we do? I looked at it, I said, no. Here's my first criteria to you. If a tourist can do it, then I don't want to do it. If people are not paying me $25,000 per person to be a tour guide.
Yeah.
They can do it on their own.
That's right.
If you do something that's touristy, there has to be a plus one. For example, we went to the Vatican. Of course, if you're in Italy, you go to the Vatican. You're in Rome. But, oh my God, she has been, she was awarded by the Pope John Paul II and twice. So she has connection. The number 3 papal staff that got us to the private quarters of the Pope, to the balcony of the Pope, to the literally the sofa when the white smoke comes out, and the first place that they sit. And we went to the Pope's vestry, which is his closet. We opened the closet and took all the things. The Pope hasn't even been there because he has people to go there and get it. So we went and looked at amazing artifacts. The people go to Sistine Chapel. Of course, we went to Sistine Chapel, but we also went to the Pope's private chapel that nobody gets to go. So that's what I mean by a plus one. And so I want to prove to my people that relationship capital is more powerful than financial capital. That when we went to Italy, when we went to Lamborghini, anybody can go to Lamborghini, but when we went to Lamborghini, Tonino Lamborghini himself greeted us. We learned about Lamborghini from Mr. Lamborghini.
Yeah.
We stayed with Salvatore Ferragamo in his 5-star medieval castle, medieval village, and drank his private reserve wine, sat down with him, and they had a discussion. Of course, everything had photo op. I'm telling you not for anything, but I'm giving you ideas on what you can do for your mastermind and things. That I have a full-time videographer and a photographer that they're snapping, they're capturing all of these moments that when you are with in the Vatican, you're at the with Ferragamo, you're with Lamborghini. We went to the Italian Parliament and spoke there. One of the things that because we're speaker author, I want to make them an international celebrity speaker. So I create speaking opportunities in those countries. So that means you have and video clips of those. We went to Dubai and one time, and it's incredible. And then we create sizzle reels. We create your social media feed, and they're looking at, wow, you are with whom? You're with Ferragamo. You're with Lamborghini. And you're in the car, you've got, so all of those things give you a leg up in your perception on your marketing. I want to give you a, as a result, that's how you monetize. And that's why I was telling you at the beginning, I'm a very ROI-centric mastermind, not an idea-centric mastermind. And of course, throughout these 7 days, we're seeing having fun is already top of the principle. And then in between, we're putting sessions. Now, the two-day mastermind is spread over 7 days. So every day, we don't have to do anything. We can party late, and we can just middle of the day have two-hour session, three-hour sessions, and then go do something else fun. Or go, and we, one other thing we always do is we always put on a service project in the mastermind now. Mm. So that we give. And and second thing, we always talk to students. So we want to impact the next generation.
Yeah, so I love that as well.
Business, we go to the business crowd.
Two levels of service,
Two levels of service. I tell the business people that, you know, you guys are lost cause. Give me your kids. You guys are lost cause. Let me get them before the corporations too. And totally mess their heads up. Let me catch them before they tell you. I was speaking at an MBA class and literally got to, look, I learned more from this, your session, than 1 year of MBA. Because everybody gave a real life what they can do, and the students were like, couldn't write fast enough. Hmm. So really satisfying. So they come back, or when you go to Bangladesh, I take him to my village. And I take him to my school that my father built in the village, and I make everyone take class. Mm. They have a translator, and they have to play with the kids here.
Yeah.
they bring, and I tell them, you take, when you come to bring two suitcases, one is your clothing, another one is gifts for the children. And go in the class and just full, and with both hands just keep start throwing. Oh my God, I've given them 5-star experience in Bangladesh. They come back, all they talk about is the village, and I'm talking about village. There's no proper sanitation. There's the, you know, broken this, broken that. And they go, oh my God, that day changed my life. How come this kid is so happy? And we have so much and we are always complaining. So I create those experiences. So the bonding, the relationship is a lifetime bond. That's why Neil and I, we've spent countless hours, we in the morning, connecting with each other.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. There's so much to learn there from how you structure the masterminds. And I think you encapsulate the whole thing in what you said there, providing an exceptional experience that's life-changing. Yeah. And builds those relationships for life. Yeah. So thanks for that. I think it's, you know, I'm aware of the time. I think it's a good point to move on to the innovation round, the buzz round, which is designed to help our listener who's primarily... all the listeners are innovators and leaders in their field. So I've got 5 questions I'm going to ask you, and hopefully you'll give us some really snappy tips today and inspire our listener to go and do something awesome as a result. So what do you think the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Number one thing innovative is go to read magazines, read something that has nothing to do with your chosen profession, something completely different. So that I have 2 kinds of mastermind. One is they're all real estate investors. They're all doctors. They're all one profession. Those are easy masterminds for ROI. But if you want innovation to happen, then go to a mastermind where they have different professions, because you learn something completely new. How do they do from their perspective? And then you go, how does it apply to mine? And that's where I believe that innovation will happen when you cross-pollinate.
Yeah, I love that. And sometimes things that one field or one kind of group of people takes for absolute mundane and easy can be totally new and transformative in another area.
Yeah. So we're all real estate investors. We all know, we go to the same water cooler. So we know that the same thing happens. But if you want something unique, you go to another completely different industry. And if you can bring that to no one else in the real estate industry will even think of copying that, because they don't think like that.
Yeah.
And that's what takes you leapfrog your competition. You're not incremental. You will totally set yourself apart in your business if you do outside, like you're saying, that you need to go broaden your thinking, and you're like an elastic, just you stretch it.
Great. All right. Now, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
One more time?
What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
My mastermind.
I thought you might say that, but I didn't want to preempt it.
I pinch myself. I pinch myself when I facilitate this mastermind, and the caliber of people in the room, I go, man, I love Jim Rohn had a saying. Jim Rohn was Tony Robbins' mentor. And he passed away. I was sitting at a Jim Rohn seminar, and I was writing, cannot write fast enough. And he's just writing and he's talking. And all of a sudden he stops next to me. He goes, good stuff, ain't it? I said, yes. He goes, I know I should have charged myself. So that's how I feel in my mastermind, that, wow, these people are paying me to be here. And I mean, I should have paid, because I'm doing all of these things. But that's the beauty of it. It's you. When you get to organize, then you get to attend. And this is, by the way, it's my criteria today, because as I say, I'm an experience junkie. I am totally, it's one thing, I haven't done a mastermind in Australia. So I met someone and I said, in Sydney, I'm looking for a co-host. So I go, where have I not been in the world? I want to go there. I want to get paid to go there. I want to create value to go there. I want to make a difference while I'm there. So all these criterias I have, that's how I go to a new place now. And I go there a week early, or I stay a week late, and I have my vacation paid for by the session.
Yeah, I love it. All right, do you have a favorite resource that you use most often?
My favorite resource that I use most often. Right now, I would say that is LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spoken to so many groups today, even including my conversation today. And what I see is that most people, small business entrepreneurs, they're relying on referrals and word of mouth advertising. They're the best. There's nothing better than referral or word of mouth. However, if you don't have a predictable and consistent lead generating flow, you don't have a business. Predictable, consistent, and scalable. These are the three words that I use. That do you have a system that is not just consistent, it's also predictable, then it can be scalable. So you do this, you can predict what will happen. And right now, I have Facebook, social media, LinkedIn has produced the best results. So I have doubled down on LinkedIn. And also during this COVID, another trend is everybody's going online for marketing. That's because they're saying everything is online. And when people zig, you zag. June 1st, the last 4 months in April, I was telling you that April we had the highest month. So I redid my entire marketing in May, created a new campaign. And June 1st, I started a direct mail campaign. Went completely offline, and this, because I can no longer, it's like a wedding-like invitation, very classy, high powered. So when they had the invitation, I say, I'm inviting you to a virtual luncheon. And guess what? Because it's a virtual luncheon, I'm adding an Uber Eats certificate. Mm. So I am telling them, look, I want to spend the money. Lunch is on me. Here's your Uber Eats. Sorry, the world's environment is such, I cannot be there, but at least allow me to send you an Uber Eats $50 gift certificate. Will you please come and join me? Mm. So I am, of course, the mail dropped June 1st. So I'm waiting for it, June 7th to June 14th is when the mail's going to hit. That's my online, offline marketing, and I'm supplementing it with online marketing. The online marketing started last week in May with Facebook opt-in. So that same target, I've hired a data scientist, and it just so happened that my data scientist is from Melbourne, Australia. Mm. And he and a completely new team revamped the marketing. And so he sliced and diced and got me the most targeted avatar, targeted audience for me. And then I'm doing direct mail, but previous to direct mail, I'm doing online campaign so that it's same branding. So when they get the card, they go, oh, I've seen this. Mm. And these days in the United States, when you mail a direct mail, the United States Post Office sends them an email that, hey, you have a mail coming.
Okay.
So, but what that does to us is when they open that email, that's my chance for pixel and do retargeting. Hmm. So then I know how many have opened, all the open rates and everything else, even with snail mail, I know. Hmm. And we're doing this retargeting. And I'm betting on that this will be the most successful campaign right now because nobody's doing direct mail. I will stick out when I get, that's one of the only few mail that they're going to get. So they're going to respond.
Hmm. Love it. Yeah. Great idea. Okay. Now we have talked about this a little bit. What's the best way to keep a client on track?
We have accountability. This is the key. Remember I saying that I'm a very ROI centric mastermind. Mm. Is at the last day of the mastermind, we make everyone. And I said, look, this has been a great, we've built relationships. We have fun, but I don't want it to be just a fun event. I want it to be something measurable. So as a result of this, you've heard new content, new ideas from other people. Other people have given you ideas about to solve your problem. And so what is your target? And by the way, another concept that we talk about is no longer goal setting. There's value in goal setting. I'm talking about long-term goal setting that, hey, 1 year, 5 year, 10 year. What we talk about is power play. Power play is what can you do in the next 30, 60, 90 days that will produce results, that will move the needle, that will take you to the next level and in the power play. So these people, we ask them, what you tell me, not your 1 year goal, what is your, and if you have a 1 year goal, then what is the, remember I talked about the inevitability thinking, what is the smaller goal of the 30 day landmark and 60 day, 90 day? And then the question that we ask, accountability, we have a whole accountability form, is my mentor, Tony Robbins, talks about the principle of PPP, the PPP, the pain, pleasure principle. Anything you want, everything you and I do as human beings, we do either to avoid pain or to gain pleasure. So let's, instead of one or the other, and most people, because we are, as human beings, we are wired to avoid pain. You only get your hand burned, put you on the hot stove one time. You know, it is painful. So you learn. And why not do both? Pain and pleasure. So we ask accountability is, if you don't achieve this, what is the pain? And if you do achieve it, what is the pleasure? And we make them write those pain pleasure. Remember, we talk about the inevitability example that, hey, if I don't wake up, you can honk, you can pour water on me. So that's the pain side of that. And so we ask them accountability is that, what is it that you're going to do? And this is amazing. that people will come up with a pain. Look, I have my vacation set with my family for next month. If I don't achieve it, I have to cancel my vacation. And I'm telling you, my kids are so looking forward to this. They'll probably kill me if I do, but I don't. The question is that you're going to achieve it. What difference does it make what the penalty is? Like, I'm in the real estate investing. I give an example that I have, people have late fees of $25 for rent is late. My late fee is $100. So I go, I have my people, property managers, to do that now. So first day when they sit down, I tell them that, hey, listen, that you, my late fee is $100. They go, what? Your late fee is $100? And I said, why? Are you planning to be late?
Yeah.
Are you planning to be late? Well, if we're not going to be late, it doesn't matter what the penalty is.
Hmm.
So that's similar thing, that are you serious about achieving your goal? Or are you just telling me? And that's why you set up. And if some of them, because it's a mastermind, if some people say, hey, what are you going to be? Oh, I'm going to donate $1,000 to this charity. Hey, that's not really a pain. Because number one, it's a shared good cause, and you're going to get some really feel good. So we want to make it somewhat painful. Said, okay, if that's going to be, you're going to play some games with us. So they gave us permission. Said, here's what you get. Oh, you're a Republican. Oh, this is, I find out that he's a staunch Republican, and in the US context. Here's what you're going to do. If you don't achieve it, you have to donate $1,000 to the Democratic campaign. They would rather die than give that money to the Democrats. So that's why we create this pain pleasure principle. And then second thing is I pair them up with a buddy. First is consequence. So you ask, what is the accountability? First is consequence. Second is an accountability buddy. And if you really want to take it to the next level, you create a triangle accountability buddy, not accountability buddy of I do you and you do you, I hold you accountable, you hold me. No, that doesn't work. You create a triangle, meaning I am only responsible to hold you accountable to what you say you're going to do, but you're not the person holding me accountable. Because what happens is that, oh, let's say example of that, yeah. I'll wake you up in the morning to take you, and one day I called you, say, hey, and I'm a little tired. Say, oh, yeah, that's right. Then I'll cut you slack next time.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it becomes a tit for tat. No, here you've only one responsible. I am the drill sergeant. I just hold you accountable. You don't even know what my goals are because I'm telling it to the person who I'm accountable for. So you don't have any leverage on me. So we create a triangular person. I'm responsible to you. You're responsible to someone. They're responsible to me.
Yeah.
These are advanced thinking, and it came as a result. By the way, guess how I learned this? Someone in the mastermind group created that.
Yeah.
I just implemented it.
Yeah.
Now across the board.
Beautiful.
I'm not the smartest guy. I just hang around with smarter people. Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
First is, I would say that I told you to start with, is be your authentic self. So you be authentic and true to yourself, and you'll see amazing. I had an NSA speaker. I heard him. He was the president of NSA. And as a speaker, you go to the NSA and you hear something, you want to copy it. The tendency, oh, that is so good. I want to swipe it. And he said, come, be inspired to create, not imitate.
Yeah.
Come, be inspired to create, not imitate. And the first, because we're lazy, so that our easy thing is to copy, but you need to think. And I was speaking today to this new friend of mine, and he's the author of a book called Paid to Think. And we are hitting it off in so many ways that we're on our third 2-hour meetings in 2 weeks. We're going to do something. And the truth is, that only 2% of the people think. 3% think that they think, but they do memory management. Memory management is not thinking, and the other 95% would rather die than think. So that intellectual, that's why the think is one of the most powerful concepts. So if you want to, if you really think, you'll come out and you will separate. And of course, I read every day. Input. Output is a function of input. So what you input and will result in what the output is. And if you don't have new things, new ideas, new things, you're constantly coming in as my mastermind, and I'm reading books. The two books that I'm reading right now, one is, I'll give your audience this thing, so that this is called, first one is by Tim Grover, Relentless, From Good to Great to Unstoppable. Relentless. They're like Lexus, their tagline is relentless pursuit of perfection. Perfection is not even achievable, but the relentless pursuit of perfection. So From Good to Great to Unstoppable. And the second book is called Play Bigger. Play Bigger, How Pirates, Dreamers, and Innovators Create and Dominate Markets. So there's your innovator. Play right. Bigger, How Pirates, Dreamers, and Innovators Create and Dominate Markets. And I'll give you another tip over here, is there's not enough time to read all the books. I am now a big fan of book summaries. Only nowadays, I will, before, when somebody recommends a book, first thing I do is go to the book summary, because some people have just read through the book and brought the nuggets for me. And I'm a big audiobook person. But audiobook is even 3, 4, 5 hours, 7 hours long audiobook. Two things is I listen at double the speed. Second, there's also a book company that do audiobook summary, not just the written version. Have you heard of an app called Blinkist?
Oh yeah, I'm a huge fan of Blinkist. I had them on the podcast before they, just as they were launching, and I've been a subscriber to them ever since. So yeah, absolutely. I would encourage everybody to check out Blinkist, because as you say, you get a book summary that, and that's where the name comes from, that you can consume in a blink effectively. Yeah. And they have audio summaries as well. So yeah, great tip.
Blinkist, on average, I go through 3 to 4 books a day. Hmm. So that's the only way. And my favorite time is when I'm working out. So that I'm always, I literally, in between sets, I stop in my phone, I take notes. Is this something I like? Oh my God, this is, and I have folders on my phone now, and I start putting things, and then I transfer it from there, because I am so much, I'm just pumping iron and doing things in between. My intellectually, I'm stimulating myself. The greatest benefit for physical exercise is not physical, it's mental. Hmm. It keeps me, that's one of the reasons I go, and it keeps me mentally sharp. So used to be, of course, I listened to audiobooks and podcasts and things, but lately it's been Blinkist. And even Blinkist, it's a 15 minute summary. I listen to it at twice the speed.
Yeah.
So I can even cover more ground. That's exactly how you buy time. It's I can never listen to anything today at the same speed in anything. Just if they don't have the player, by the way, there's another tip is, like Vimeo videos don't have the speed control. Hmm. YouTube videos have the play speed control. There's a Chrome extension you can put in on your browser that will take any video and it puts the superimposes the speed control. So without that, I would not even listen because I go.
We'll have a link to a couple of those in the show notes as well, because that's a really great tip as well. I've been doing that for quite some time.
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks, Roger. This has been really great. Now, where can people find out a little bit more about your work and your speeches and perhaps even about the mastermind, and then reach out and say thank you for what you shared with us today?
easiest way is go to, if they want to reach out to me, go to Roger Salam. My last name, S is in Sam, A-L-A-M-R-O-G-E-R, rogersalam.biz, B-I-Z. And you'll see my, that's my digital way to get in touch with me. And if they want some gifts with no strings attached, some more gifts, go to rogersvipgift.com. rogersvipgift.com. And they, I designed some key things. And as I was telling you, that I was really thinking that what can I give them that'll move the needle? Mm. Not an ebook. I could have given them, already I had books and stuff. I can give multiple. But I said, let me give you, I created those gifts just for rogersvipgift.com, so that with the intent of this, you don't have to even give me emails. Just go there.
Great.
And get it. And if you like Wonderful. It, come get more.
Yeah. Wonderful. We'll have links to those in the show notes as well. Now, finally, Roger, who would you like me to chat with on a future Innova Buzz podcast and why?
I always say that the law of recency is one of the most powerful laws. There are so many people, and there's one, the person that I'm speaking to right now, his name is David Goldsmith. And another, and he wrote the book Paid to Think. And because I spoke to him today, I spoke to him last week, I'm speaking to him tomorrow, and we're on the verge of discussing some joint ventures. And so he is a contrarian. I love contrarian. And I go to contrarian right now as to, they're what we call mismatcher.
Yeah.
You always have to miss anything. Oh, he and I had heated debates on things just to prove each other's point and in a fun way. And he's a contrarian thinker. So I said, look, here's what I'm sharing with you. Tell me, where are the holes in my thinking? Because that's how you enrich me, that tell me on a counterpoint to this. And he's a mismatcher, and it comes very naturally to him, and we're doing back and forth. I have a saying that if two people always agree, one is not necessary.
Yeah, yeah. So, I love it.
So you will, your audience will really get some value. And we both hit it off, is that quality of your life is a quality of the questions that you ask yourself and others on a regular basis. I wrote a book about that. And I said, questions are the answers.
Hmm.
And I convinced people without a shadow, that's one of my favorite keynote requests that I get, and I also enjoy doing it, that when you go, people are looking for answers when they should be looking for quality questions to ask, because the answer is just on the other side of the coin. If you can ask the right question, and David and I were going back and forth, and he just hit it up, and then he started telling you all the questions that he has asked, that he goes, man, that's why we hit it up. And I collect questions. You know how people collect things?
Hmm.
I collect questions. So when I read a book, when I read Blinkist, what stops me on my track is casually, so I'm going to give you four questions. I have to write down those four questions. I don't care about the answers, right, because they're giving.
All right. We'll get an introduction to David from you then, and we'll have a conversation with him, and we'll see how contrarian he likes to get on the show. Should be fun. Well, thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously today, Roger. I've enjoyed this immensely, and there's been so much valuable advice here that, you know, can be applied to business across the board. What you can learn from masterminds, some of the ways you can set up a mastermind that makes it really powerful, and a lot more there that you've given us advice on, you know, how you can get really creative about saving time when reading and watching videos and much more. So thanks for all of that. I wish you all the best for the future, and let's stay in touch.
Thank you. It's a pleasure and privilege. Good luck and Godspeed.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that engaging and informative conversation with Roger and took something away from his episode. I particularly loved Roger's accountability triangle method as one concrete example of inevitability thinking in action. I'm curious to know what you took away from Roger's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Roger Salem. That is RogerSalam. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Roger Salem. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Roger there, as well as links to the Winner's Circle website, his personal website and his social media pages, and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Roger suggested that we have a conversation with David Goldsmith, author of Paid to Think, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast episode. So, David, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Roger Salem. Tune in again to the next episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got more fantastic guests lined up, including Book, Speak, Repeat founder Kerry Heaps and founder of Splashio, Gideon Shelwick. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show to be reminded of new episodes. It's free to subscribe. Leave a review if you like. Even if you don't like me, I'm okay with that. I'm asking you to leave a review because it helps other people find this show. Go to innovabiz.co to join our marketing transformation community and access a free gift my team and I made for you. It's the Marketing Master Mini Class. We want to give you everything you need to transform your marketing into a human-centered, relationship-focused growth engine. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.